So the question, of course, becomes when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is he? And what did he come to do for us? And what did he become? So two things about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is full of references about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was here on earth, he said that in the volume of the book, it is written of me. So all through the Bible, it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. So who is he? Well, first of all, we have to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is God. The problem that many people have is when we read in the Bible that there is only one God, and how can you say that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Sounds to me like there's three gods. In fact, that is not true. It is one God that is manifested, revealed in three persons. Three persons, and yet only one God. It's difficult for us to comprehend that, but one way to illustrate it is that what we have in this room is space, right? We have space. And there's the length of it, right? The length. Then there's the width. And then there's the height. The length is not the height. And the width is not the length. But it's one space in three proportions, three different dimensions. Still a poor illustration because it's very difficult to illustrate and to comprehend the fact that there is only one God and manifested in three persons. We're thinking today of God the Son, and he is God. If we look at the book of John, in John chapter 1, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is referred to as the Word. The Word. That's one of his names. God the Father has many names, and each one of those names shows us a little different aspect of who God is. The Lord Jesus Christ has different names in the Bible, different names. And those names reveal who he is and what he's come to do. So he is called Jesus, for example. It's one of his names. What does Jesus mean? Jesus comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means Savior. That's the meaning of that word. He came to save people. He's our Savior. There's another one, which is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God with us. And so the fact that he's called Emmanuel says that God with us, God came down to earth. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God. And then look at what it says. And the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Word, is God. The same was in the beginning with God. Look at verse 18 of that same chapter. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ came to show the world in physical form who God is and what he's like, because he is God the Son. In John chapter 10, John chapter 10, the main reason that this Gospel of John was written is to show that Jesus Christ is God. the Gospel of Matthew shows us that Jesus Christ is King. The Gospel of Mark shows us that Jesus Christ is a servant. The Gospel of Luke shows us that Jesus Christ is man. And the Gospel according to John shows us that Jesus Christ is God. And so John has a lot to say about the fact that Jesus is God. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 30. He said, "I and my Father are one." He is declaring in front of all the Jewish people that Jesus Christ is God. Because when he says, "I and my Father are one," he's saying, "I am the same. I am God." That really upset the Jews. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. They wanted to kill him. Because to claim that you are God is horrible, unless you are God. And so they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God, so they were very, very upset because he was claiming to be God. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which one of these works are you going to stone me? I've only done good things when in your presence. For which one of these good works, good deeds, are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "It's not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but because of blasphemy." Blasphemy is somebody claiming to be God who's not God. If I came to you and I said, "I am God," that's blasphemy. That's a lie. And so these Jewish religious leaders said, "You claiming to be God, we're going to stone you for that. That's awful for you to say." He says, "But for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." So they understood what he was saying when he said, "I and my Father are one." They understood that he was claiming to be God. And they said, "We got to kill this man. He's a liar. He's blaspheming. He's telling things against the one and only true God that are not supposed to be said. And yet, he is God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the Bible, the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has set apart, sanctified, and sent into the world, you blaspheme because I said I'm the Son of God? Are you going to stone me because I'm claiming to be God?" And yet, in the Old Testament, the Bible that you have, it says that I'm God. And you're going to stone me because I'm telling you the truth. I am God. He says, "If I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works of my Father, of God, though you do not believe me, believe the works." He did a lot of works, a lot of miracles, a lot of things that only God can do. And he said, "You don't believe me because I'm saying to you that I'm God. Then look at the works that I do. Look at the things that I did that only God can do. Those will show you that I'm God, that you may know and believe that the Father, God the Father, is in me and I in him." Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped from them. So they wanted to kill him because he said, "I am God," which he in fact is. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 4, he's speaking again to his disciples, his followers, and he says, "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." They were supposed to, but they didn't quite know. Thomas, who was one of the 12 apostles, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way to get to where we don't know where you're going? Doesn't make sense. Jesus said to them something very important. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the only way, Jesus is the only way that people can know God the Father. If they do not believe in Jesus Christ, they don't believe in God the Father. They can claim to believe in God the Father, but they don't. They can tell others that they believe in God the Father, they don't. Because if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't believe in God the Father. Because to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as God is to reject God the Father as well. That's what he's saying here. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And he says, if you had known me, then you would have known my Father also, because to know me is to know the Father, because he's God and I am God. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip, another one of his disciples, said to him, he asked the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you know, Jesus, why don't you show us God the Father, and we'll be happy with that. Just show us God the Father. Sounds like an interesting question and an interesting request. Just show us the Father. Jesus said this, have I been so long time with you? Have I been with you this long, and yet you don't know who I am, Philip? He says, he that has seen me has seen the Father already. And how do you say then, show us the Father? So the Lord Jesus says, Philip, you're asking me to show you the Father. I already have. I've been around you for 3 years. I've been showing you the works that God does, and you don't believe that I'm God? If you see me, you've seen the Father already, because he and I are one. I am God, as God the Father is. So there are a lot of evidences that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God. The Lord Jesus Christ, after he died on the cross and after he rose again from the dead, he showed himself to his disciples. And the first time he did, one of them was not there, Thomas. And they told Thomas, we've seen the Lord Jesus. He has risen from the dead. He said, I don't believe you. Unless I see the marks on his hands and on his side, I won't believe. So he didn't believe what the other apostles said to him. So Jesus shows himself again. And Jesus, they're in a closed room. Jesus walks right through the wall. Doesn't have to open a door. Why? Because he's God. He can do that. Don't try it. Because you're not God. But God can. He can be outside and come right in without having to go through a door. So he comes back and he shows himself. Thomas is there this time. Thomas says some wonderful things in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 27, Jesus said to Thomas, reach here your finger and look at my hands. What did his hands have? Wounds from when he was nailed to the cross. And he said, look at my hands. And he's got the wounds to show. And he said, reach here your hand and put it on my side. What happened to his side? He was stabbed there. And he has a scar, a wound there. And he's showing clear evidences, proof that he is God, that he's Jesus. Don't be without faith, but believe, Thomas, believe, it's true. What did Thomas say? Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. When Thomas recognized that Jesus had risen from the dead, and he declares, Jesus is God. And you and I need to believe that Jesus is God. In Romans chapter 9, so I'll show you a few verses, the Bible is filled with references of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just showing you a few verses. Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Jews and saying, I say the truth in Christ, I'm not lying, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. I'm very burdened for my people, the Jewish people. He says about the Jewish people, verse 4, they're Israelites. To them pertains the adoption. That means that they are the ones that are the recipients of God's blessings and the glory and the law, the covenants, the covenants, the various covenants, promises, contracts that God made with the people of Israel, and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. And he says, whose are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, belong to the Jewish people. And of whom, listen, as concerning the flesh, as a human being, Christ came, who is over everything. And then he says, he calls him God. God blessed forever. God. People who believe, people who understand that Jesus is God. In Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, again, the Apostle Paul is writing in verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, this is what grace teaches us, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, and looking for that blessed hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to the clouds, and those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved will meet him up in the clouds one day, looking for that blessed hope. And at that point, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear, and look at what Paul says about him, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God. And when you believe the truth, you will believe that Jesus Christ is God. In the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is showing the contrast between the Lord Jesus Christ and angels, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the priests, and the Lord Jesus Christ from every other creature. The writer is quoting what God says, what God the Father says about the Son. Verse 8, but unto the Son, God the Father says of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. God the Father calls God the Son God, because he is God. And then one more verse, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 1. This is Peter writing to the Jewish people. As he opens his letter to them, he says, Simon Peter, he's identifying himself as the writer, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. We could spend months and months just studying the Bible and seeing that Jesus Christ is God. Because all over the Bible, it says that Jesus Christ, and it proves that Jesus Christ is God. He is God. Now, Another thing that it says about Jesus Christ is that as God, he is to be worshipped. To worship God means to honor him, to recognize that he is God, and to honor him as God. And we're not to honor or worship anyone else or anything else other than God. And what God is constantly talking to us about is that we're to worship God. Nothing else. No one else. As God, he is to be worshipped. Now, some people worship or honor or put on a high pedestal and think they're the greatest. We honor all kinds of things. We worship heroes, and we think they're the greatest and the best. And by the way we worship, by the way we act toward them, you'd think that they were greater than God. Or we worship not just heroes, but great sports people. We worship them. We put them up on a pedestal, and we think, they're the greatest. That's awesome. And we think they're better than God. Well, we don't say that, but that's the way we act. Or we take some things that we have, and we're completely dedicated to those things, whatever that might be. Things you love to have and to play with or to do. And we worship that. The only difference between children and adults is the kind of toys we have and the kind of toys we worship. So worship only belongs to God. God is the greatest. God is the only one that's to be honored. He's above everything else and everyone else. And one of the problems with human beings is that we worship and honor things and the creature rather than God, who is the creator. So we have some commands about worship. So worship, you understand, is giving honor, understanding that he's the greatest. There's no one like him to worship him. There's some very strict guidelines, commands in the Bible about worship. In the book of Exodus, starting with the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34, it says something very specific about worship, about whom we honor. And chapter 34, verse 14, it says there, after, you know, God is giving a bunch of guidelines and laws, and he says this, "You shall worship no other God." There's only one God. "For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." God does not want you to worship or honor anything else or anyone else. There are people today and all through history that make gods that they worship. They worship a woman. They worship an idol. They worship things. God says, you cannot worship anyone else. Worship only belongs to God. Only belongs to God. Remember that, because we're going to look at some verses that show that people are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't correct them, because he is God and he should be worshiped. He should be honored as God. In Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. So here the devil wants the Lord Jesus Christ to worship him. The devil said, look, you bow down and worship me, and I'm going to give you all the worlds. I'll give you everything. What did Jesus say? Verse 10, then Jesus said to him, get away from here, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. Only God should be worshipped. Satan wanted Jesus to worship him, and he offered him all the world. I'll give you the whole world if you worship me. But Jesus said, no, it's wrong. Because you should only worship the true and living God. Go back a little bit to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, this is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, what did these wise men say? These wise men also brought gifts, three types of gifts. But they also said something. They said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They're looking for the baby Jesus who was born king of the Jews. And what do they want to do? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. They came to worship him because they knew he was God. Only God can and should be worshipped, honored as the supreme, the awesome God. No one else and nothing else should be worshipped. In verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, baby Jesus. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And what did they do? They fell down and worshiped him. Because they knew he was God. God is the only one that is to be worshiped. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. These are just a few verses in the Bible that talk about worship and the fact that Jesus is God. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. He calmed the sea. Only God has that kind of power. If there's a big storm in the sea, you go try and tell the sea, be calm. Not going to work. Because you're not God. But God can do that. Because God has power over all of creation. And they worshipped him and said, of a truth, you are the Son of God, which is to say that he is God. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. So Jesus, after his resurrection, meets them, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They knew he was God, and they worshiped him. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, what did they do? They worshiped him. They worshiped him. Look at the gospel according to John again. John chapter 9 this time. John chapter 9. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, you were altogether born in sin, and you teach us? And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, you have seen him. How can he say that? You can't look at the Father, but you can look at God the Son, and then you've seen God. And that's what Jesus is saying. You've seen him. You have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. I'm talking to you. I am God. And he said, Lord, I believe. And the moment he understands who Jesus is, and it says here, and he worshiped him. Only God is to be worshiped. Only God is to be honored because he is all-powerful and he knows everything and he's present everywhere and he made the universe and he made you and he is God. So he alone needs to be honored as God. Well, as God, he is all-powerful. All-powerful. That means there is no limit to his power. No limit to his power. Now, I'm here to tell you that he's not the force. He is not even the good force. He is God. He is God, and there's none like him. He is all-powerful. He has all power. He can do anything and everything that's consistent with who he is. He is all-powerful. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Here are some illustrations, some evidences of his power. Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him, great crowd. And behold, there came a leper. A leper came and worshipped him, as he should, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Leprosy is an awful disease. It just eats up all your body, your flesh. It has bad marks all over. And it's very contagious, so that when there were lepers, they would put them away in caves and because they couldn't be among all the people because they would give leprosy to everybody else and they were considered very unclean. You wouldn't want to be around a leper who had all these sores and boils and marks on his body, all of the sickness. And a leper comes to Jesus, worships him, and says to Jesus, if you're willing to do this, you can make me clean. You can take away my leprosy. Jesus put forth his hand. Jesus took his hand and touched the leper. Oh, man, that's bad. What if Jesus catches leprosy? No. He reached out his hand. He touched him, saying, I will. I do want to heal you. Be clean. He speaks the word. He says, be clean. And immediately, that very moment, his leprosy was cleansed. It was gone because Jesus is God and he has all power. He can do that because he has that power. He is all powerful. Verse 16 of that same chapter. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. These were people where Satan had terrible control of those people. And there were devils. Those are wicked angels that followed Satan. And they come and they frustrate people and they hurt people. And they do bad things to people. And when the evening was come, they brought to him many people that were possessed with devils, with bad angels, with demons. And what did he do? He cast out the spirits with his word. He cast out, he set them free from the hold that Satan had. And he healed all that were sick. Because Jesus is all powerful. He has power over Satan. He has power over sickness. He has power over creation. He is all-powerful. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 10. And behold, there was a man, his hand was withered. His hand was all gone. It was all withered. He was crippled up. And they asked him, saying, this was the Sabbath, the Saturday, which was a holy day for the Jews. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They wanted to accuse him. They wanted to trap him and catch him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out. In other words, Jesus says to them, if you're a shepherd and you have a whole bunch of sheep, and one of the sheep strays away, goes away, and that sheep is in danger because wolves can come and kill them and eat them, are you going to say, oh, I can't save my sheep because it's Saturday today? I'll wait till Sunday. Says, you wouldn't do that. Well, there's a man here with a hand withered. He's a cripple, and he's coming to ask me to heal him. Should I say, oh, no, not on the Sabbath? Should I wait till Sunday? You wouldn't do that if you had sheep that went astray. Will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? What if that sheep falls into a well or into a big hole? Are you just going to leave it here, there, and suffer? No, of course not. Verse 12, how much then is a man? Isn't a man more important than a sheep? If you do that for your sheep, shouldn't I help a man on a Saturday, on a Sabbath, a holy day? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then he said to the man, so here he is, can't see his hand, it's all withered and crippled. And he said to the man, because his word is powerful. He said to the man, stretch your hand. Well, the cripple couldn't stretch his hand all his life. But now Jesus is saying, stretch your hand. And he stretched out his hand. And it was perfect. It was all restored. It wasn't crippled anymore. And so Jesus is all powerful. He said, all power is given unto me because he's all powerful. Hebrews chapter 1. Again, the book of Hebrews is showing how much greater Jesus is than the angels and the prophets and the priests. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read this already in verse 6, where the angels worship him. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Only God is worshipped, and God says angels should worship the Lord Jesus Christ because he is God and he is all powerful. One more passage, John chapter 10. Go back to the gospel according to John. John chapter 10. And verse 17, he says, therefore does my Father love me. Listen to this. Look at how powerful Jesus is. Because I lay down my life. He gave voluntarily. He gave his life when he died on the cross. He was willing to let people kill him. And then he says that I might take it again. Jesus said, I am going to raise myself from the dead. Wow. That's power that no one else has. Only God does. And he gives himself. He dies on the cross. They bury him. Who raised Jesus from the dead? He raised himself from the dead. That I might take it again. No man takes my life from me. Don't think that people are taking my life. I am willing to give it. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to give up my life, to let people kill me, and I have power to take my life back. So Jesus is all powerful. He is so powerful that after they killed him, he raised himself from the dead. That's amazing. That's all powerful. And that's who he is. Now, something else about Jesus. He knows everything. Uh-oh. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're doing when nobody else is watching. You think you're hiding from other people. You're not hiding from God. You think you're doing things hiding from your parents. God is watching. He sees everything you do. He even knows what you're thinking without you telling him. And so we have many evidences of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ knows everything. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is washing the disciples' feet. That was a tradition then. Peter said to him, Peter, he's ready to wash Peter's feet. And he said, you're never going to wash my feet. You are God. You are the master. You are Jesus. You can't wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I don't wash you, then you don't have anything to do with me. Simon Peter said unto him, oh, Lord, then don't wash just my feet. Just wash my whole body. But my hands, my head, just wash everything. And Jesus said to him, he that is washed, if you are washed from your sins, you don't need to wash anything except your feet, because that talks about you living a life here on earth. You get dirty in this life, and God cleanses us, but is clean in every way, and you are clean. You are clean. All you are clean. There's 12 of them. He said, except one of you. One of you is not clean. Who was that? The one who betrayed him. Judas Iscariot. How did Jesus know that there was one of the 12 that wasn't believing in him and wasn't his true follower, and that he was going to betray him? You know how he knew? Nobody told him. He knew because he knows everything. Verse 11, for he knew, Jesus knew who was going to betray him. That's why he said, you are not all clean. John chapter 16, John chapter 16, beginning with verse 27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, now you're speaking to us clearly, and you're not speaking to us a proverb. Now are we sure, listen, now are we sure that you know all things. You know everything. And you don't need anybody to tell you, because you know everything. He knows everything. By this we believe that you came forth from God. John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse 17. Here the Lord Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And he says, oh, I love you. Three times he asked him. He said to the third time, he said to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? He had asked him that two times before, and Peter said, I love you. Now you're asking me the third time? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. That's true. You know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So Peter and many others, when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they know that he knows everything. Jesus knows everything. He knows everything about you. And the final thing we'll look at about Jesus is that he is our creator. He is the one who made the world. Now, the schools, teachers, the things you read will tell you that it wasn't God that made the world. It's evolution. It happened because there was some explosion in the past. That's absolutely crazy, and it's absolutely wrong. God made the heavens and the earth. The first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the first statement about God. He made the heaven and the earth. Well, who made the heaven and the earth? Look at John chapter 1 again. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Remember, what was Jesus' name? The Word was one of his names. And it says here in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now listen to what it says about the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by him, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him was not anything made that was made. Nothing that was ever made, created, was made apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word. That's important because how did God create the heaven and the earth? He created by speaking, by saying it. He said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Because the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the creator of this universe. Look at verse 10 of John chapter 1. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world was made by him. In the book of Colossians, again, we have the Bible telling us that Jesus made everything. In chapter 1 and verse 14, we know it's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of God because he is God. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were made by him. So when you hear people tell you that God didn't create this universe, they're not telling you the truth. How do I know that? Because the Bible, which is truth, says that the Lord Jesus Christ, God, created this universe. God made you. And anybody that tells you different, they're telling you a lie. Something that is absolutely no truth, not true, no matter how nice they are, no matter how sweet they are, no matter how convincing their arguments are, it's not true. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, God, who in various times and in various manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So you're going to be faced with a decision. Do you believe what the Bible says, or do you believe what other people say? Now we need to see what he became for you and me. God became a man. He became a man. That's what Christmas is about. We learn about a baby being born to Mary. A baby that became it's a human being. God took upon him the form of a human being. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus come? Only for one reason. Because he came to become a servant, and he came in order to become sin. That's what he became. He became a man. He became a servant when he became sin. How is that possible? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, he said seven different things. One of the things he said on the cross, He was on the cross dying, and he looked up to heaven and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father rejected God the Son. Why would he do that? Only one reason. Because he took your sin and my sin, and he became sin for us. Look at 2 Corinthians. This is a great verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 21. Now, imagine for a minute that this book has in it all of your sin. As far as my life is concerned, this book is a little thin. Probably should be real big. If it records all my sin, all my life, this has all my sin. And here I am with all this sin on me. And now here's the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he not have? He doesn't have any sin because he's God. He never said a bad thing. He never had a bad attitude. He never disobeyed his parents. He never not worshiped God. He always worshiped the Father. He always did what the Father told him to do. He is God. He doesn't have any sin. But look at what that verse 21 says. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had no sin, became sin for us. The Lord Jesus Christ has only righteousness, only perfection, sinlessness. He has perfection, sinlessness, righteousness. What do we need? We are sinners. What do we need? We need righteousness in order to be accepted by God. But we don't have any righteousness. We only have sin. He has righteousness, no sin. We have no righteousness, only sin. So what happened at the cross? He became sin for us so that he could give us his righteousness, God's righteousness. He doesn't want to punish us for our sin because he punished the Lord Jesus Christ for your sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for you and for me. And all you have to do is not decide to be a better person, because being good doesn't get you to heaven. It's to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin. He took your sin. He became sin for you. And he wants to give you his perfection, his righteousness. He can only do that when you accept and believe what Jesus Christ did for you. And so the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You need to be saved. Salvation only comes by believing that the Lord Jesus Christ became sin for you. He took your sin. He died for you on the cross. It's the only reason that Christ came to this earth. Why he became a man. Why he became a servant. And why he became sin. He wanted to take your sin. That's how much God loves you. Nobody loves you like God does. Nobody. He loves you so much that he gave his only son on the cross to become sin for you, to take your sin. And all you have to do is accept that payment for your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved. You can have your sins forgiven. And you can have his righteousness given to you as a gift so that when you go before God, he accepts you. He lets you into his heaven. It's the only way to get to heaven. You don't have to try to be better or try to be good or stop lying and stop disobeying and stop doing this. It doesn't work. It's only through what Christ did on the cross for you. It's the only way that you can be saved. And that's what God wants for you more than anything else in this whole world. You're going to be getting a lot of presents. God wants you to have something far greater than those presents. He wants you to have salvation. He wants you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Because without believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never go to heaven. Heaven is not for good people. Heaven is for sinners, for bad people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who accept what Jesus did on the cross for them in paying for their sin.